Last week, while I was away, my family took a day trip to Mackinac Island. We decided to rent some bikes and ride the 8-mile loop around the perimeter of the island, and then cycle up to the highest point on the island, Fort Holmes, originally built for the War of 1812. And because there were 9 of us, we decided to save some money and rent tandem bicycles. I see some of you have ridden tandem bicycles before. None of us had ever been on a tandem cycle before, so there was a lot of adapting we had to do, a lot of braking and switching partners, not to mention trying to balance it while moving forward. My 13-year-old nephew rode with me on the tandem seat behind, and I may have been steering, but he was strong, and he was the engine going up all those inclines. And I think one of the reasons why he's so strong is because he was adopted from a Chinese orphanage when he was 8 and has had to overcome many things from his life before and during his time in the orphanage. He's found the faith of my family and goes to church regularly, and we are blessed that he's now a part of our family, and we love him to pieces. He's still learning about America, and on that day, about riding on a tandem cycle with his Aunt Nana. He wanted to pass groups of cyclists when there were other cyclists coming in the opposite direction. He wanted to go fast on the downhill side of the highest point on Mackinac Island, at the risk of taking a high-speed tumble, especially at the tail end of a long and tiring 9-mile ride. In other words, he wanted to drive. And in biblical terms, that meant he spent a lot of that ride lamenting. And though we may all of us lament, human beings are pretty amazing. We're capable of coping with so much heartbreak, overcoming so many struggles. We're pretty strong. Many years ago, I worked for an international toy company, and I was blessed to travel to mainland China and Hong Kong for work. One of many amazing memories of that trip was my car ride from the airport to the hotel. I was advised by one of the engineers who met me at the airport, since the taxi companies could be way too expensive, to hire a private car to get me to the hotel. With my new friend's help, we found a private car and off we went fast. Did I mention he drove really fast? Fast even for me, fast? Definitely over the speed limit, if there was a speed limit, or even traffic laws, from what I could tell back then. There were no stop signs or lights, and going through an intersection was like playing jump rope. Do you remember playing jump rope, and you got to get the timing just right? To leap into the intersection and make it to the other side. Now, I missed a lot of that ride because my eyes were shut. But in one of the few times when my eyes were open, I saw a middle-aged man riding a bike, easily carrying hundreds of pounds of stuff in baskets on his bike. Baskets tied to the handlebars, baskets to his seat on a rack in front and behind him, baskets tied to his back. They were stacked all around him, even going up and over his head. I was amazed at the strength and endurance he would need to carry all those baskets, because it looked heavy. And I wondered, how did he stay balanced on that bike as cars zoomed past too close to the side of the road for my comfort? Well, it's pretty amazing what we humans can haul with a bicycle. And they say that an average adult with a trailer for hauling can tow up to 350 pounds and travel 10 miles in an hour. Now, we may be able to handle that much weight, but we aren't going to go very fast. And a person hauling 600 pounds will only be able to travel 8 miles in an hour. That's pretty slow going. And most of us, in addition to carrying the kind of stuff we can pack in a basket or a box, carry around with us emotional stuff, too. Sometimes these things are so burdensome, they keep us at a standstill, unable to move forward in our lives. So there we are, riding through life, loaded down with all these baskets, trying to make headway with this basket filled with anger and another one with shame, and this one loneliness, and that one regret. It's hard to get anywhere with that kind of burden. Kind of like Moses. There he was out in the desert on the Exodus with the Israelites, and they're lamenting or complaining all the time of the burdens they're having to endure. Can't you just hear them? It's too hot. I want to go faster. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I don't like sand. When are we going to get there? Can you hear my 13-year-old nephew in those words? And Moses, tired of their lament, gets exasperated and says to God, I can't take this anymore. I can't bear all these people's burdens alone. The load is just too big and it's too heavy. So I imagine there's Yahweh telling Moses to take a breath, calm down, and pick out 70 to stand with him, to share his burden, to lighten his load. So there is Moses creating community out there in the desert, one not based upon lament, but upon a shared grace. The people in the church in Ephesus to whom today's epistle is addressed were also struggling to form community. Kate Huey writes of this passage, it's true that churches struggle in every age and every place, and their issues and challenges are often very similar, even in very different times and very different circumstances. The commentators make this clear, empire in one form or another, the surrounding culture with its many and powerful messages, our drive to divide and be divided, and the questioning human spirit, longing to understand our lives, both individually and communally. The Israelites and the Ephesians could have been any spiritual community in any century, for the struggles remain the same. God's amazing grace has the power to bring all kinds of people, gay and straight, sinner and saint, black and white, so that all may be one. And along the way, God works this amazement in and through you and me, creating an us, whose byproduct is unity where there was division and hope where there was lament. The core aspect of community isn't about being so strong that we don't need anyone else's help. The core strength of community is found in creating a shared life, following a common purpose. For St. Michael's, our strength in community is our belief that Jesus is here with us, riding along on the tandem seat, the engine on our ride up the hills of life. And we've also got each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, riding there with us, sharing the journey, loving us and forgiving us into wisdom and courage, showing us what amazing grace can do. So we come together on Sunday morning to worship, seeking a place to belong, creating a community where all God's people might bask in God's loving presence. Here you'll find God through music or silence, in service or receiving, in newness or tradition, ritual or symbol, a place where all are invited to the altar, where we come shoulder to shoulder, made one in the body and blood of Jesus in Holy Communion. St. Augustine believed that the word communion was derived from com, with, together, and unis, oneness, or union. From the meal where we come together and are fed and all become one in Christ, something at our core changes in you and in me, and it creates in us. And through the power of believing in the impossible made possible, the weight of all those baskets we're carrying around somehow gets lightened. At our best, you'll find us standing side by side, seeking to serve one another. We bring healing to the sick and the lame. We offer loving care to the wounded and seek justice for all God's people. In gratitude and with renewed strength, we give generously of ourselves, offering forgiveness and reconciliation to those who have hurt us, accepting their forgiveness in return and along the way, renewing our spirits. Kate Huey believes we work hard on the issues, but we need to be able to return to a base camp where we can renew our spirits, where we can tap into the deep roots of our tradition, the ancient songs of praise and lament, the blessings that we have received and will share with those who come after us. We have, after all, been brought together not only to work, but to pray and praise, to remember and remind, to celebrate and to hope as well. We can draw on that time together and find the courage to hope. My dearly beloved, God is at work here just as much as in the desert with Moses and with the first Christians in the little town of Ephesus across the Aegean from Greece. And today's closing hymn speaks of the people of God coming together in community and welcoming all. And that's why it was selected as our final hymn, to kind of bring all of this message from today together, to have it sit on our memories as we walk into our week. So may we remember that all are welcome here at God's table and in God's community. And may all God's people say,